Right, we're on Daf Samach Vav today. So if you remember in yesterday's Gemara, we spoke about the sheath of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. He held that things that were sort of left over for 1 year, if you had shkalim that were left over for 1 year, you could use it going forward. So the Gemara tries to reconcile that with the Braisa. Braisa says within the sheath of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, the Braisa says that if the par and the seer of Yom Kippur were lost, and then you separated other ones for them, so the Tana, Rabbi Huda says that you all have to die. It's like a chatat shekibru baleha. Chatat, and again, according to Tana, Rabbi Huda, the chatat tzibur is meita. So the Gemara says, yeah, Tana, Rabbi Huda holds if shkalim were lost, and then they were made up, so that the surplus can be applied to the following year. Why can't we do that the same with the par and the seer of Yom Kippur? And the Ravah asked, and people asked, but wasn't it a chatat tzibur that's meita? So how can I reuse it? So they said that's only if the chatat was totally got kapara for it. In other words, like the person was Mechal Shabbos, and then they brought their korban, and then they separated one korban, another korban, but then they brought the korban. Now they have total atonement for the Aveira. But on Yom Kippur, it's always an ongoing thing. It's never finished. So why can't we do that? So the Gemara says on Samach Bava and Aleph, the Gemara says around six lines down, Ella Amar Rava Gzerim Shem Takala. So Rava says it's Gzerim because of a Takala, you know, a mishap. We don't know what the mishap is. We have to be patient. The Tani, we learn the Braisa, Imach Difim Emarichim Imach Rimin Bizmanazeh. Bizmanazeh means after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, we're not Machdish, we don't declare things. Hekdish would be for better Kabai, the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. There's no base of English. We don't know what we're going to do with it. If you leave it hanging around, it's going to lead to problems because people misuse it. The marich and erchin, you know, we use when somebody says the value of somebody is going to give to the base of mikdash. The machrimin, the two types of Quran, we pair them to the base of mikdash, we pair them to the kodin. Here we figure it's a pair to the base of mikdash. But none of those things we do as one as that. Impektish veherach and vehechrim. If you did any of those things, so if the item that you were makdish was a behema, take care, it should be uprooted. The Gemara will explain what this means in 1 minute. But it's going to mean that it has to die, basically. Peruk sefer kelim, if it was produce, garments, or kelim utensils, yirkuv, you let them rot. In other words, you leave them out of circulation, and they have to be destroyed, basically. Ma'od klei matachod, if it was money, klei matachod, metal objects, which have a long life to them. Yolif and ali yamamela, but Rashash says, not hanal yamamela, Rishash says it means Yolichem Yamamelach. You have to throw them in the Yamamelach. But Be'ezahu Yikur, what's for Noel Del Gafanev, he made Tameyelah. So, what does this is again still part of the Brisa? What does Yikur mean? We said if it's Behema Teaker, it means you'll lock the door and let the animal starve to death. But the bottom line is that the Tana of this Brisa describes that if we leave the animal around and I've declared the animal to be Hekdesh, a problem is going to arise because it's going to hang around and sooner or later someone's going to misuse the animal. So that's a takala. So the Gemara says takala dabai. So over here, we're talking about animals during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We want to leave them over for next year. So what takala is that involved? The Bryce was talking about after the Beis HaMikdash. But we're talking about, you know, the parts of the year they got lost. They designated a different part of the year. So why doesn't the Tana Rebbe Yehuda subscribe to the idea of reusing them or using them next year like he does with the Machzor Shekel? So takala d'may, what's the takala with that? So eat takala d'hakrava, perhaps takala d'hakrava. Hakrava would mean that I'll offer it before next year rolls around. It's an animal, it's ready for a korban. I'll just jump the gun and offer it as a korban. If that's the case, there are many cases in the Mishnah, and we've had a number already, where the halacha is yiru at yistavu. You know, that you have to wait till the animal gets a mum, and then you wait and you sell it and use the money for nedava. But if it's the case, you're always afraid that people will wrongfully bring it as a korban, so I should also say they have to die as well, because that's also the same problem. And we don't say that. If the concern is they come to shear it for its wool, here it's his goat and a par, but goat could be for goat hair, but avoda, or you'll work with the animal, I feel the kuriyonami. So then that would also be true by all the other cases where we have animals that they graze until they get a mum. So the Gemara says, Leolam takala takrava. No, you're right initially. The concern is that people will jump the gun, offer it to korban when they shouldn't offer it to korban. So that's going to lead to a problem. So the ones that are have to be roed, they're lab b'nei hakrava. I mean, they've been consigned for re'iyah. they're not something that can be offered on the Mizbeach anymore. So I'm not preoccupied with them. I'm not thinking about them in terms of burning as a korban. Talked about akravahi tariba. But these animals that I'm saving to offer as a korban, so I could get mistaken, offered prematurely, whatever. That's why we think that Tana Rabbi Huda says they have to die, whereas by Masir Shekel, they'll be carried over to the following year. Now, okay, so that's the shot. Let me just get to the Mishnah and then I'll pause, okay? So the Gemara says, so whether we are or are not Foshesh with Tala, Tala means a mishap, like we've described. That's a machloket tonight, we think. The Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Tani Chadi, we learn in one Braisa, Pesach Shel Korei Barishoni Grabashani. If I have a Pesach, I have a lamb, I designate it from Pesach, but for some reason I didn't offer it at the first Pesach, so I'll offer it on the second Pesach. So it means, right. So Rashi says here, the Pesach Gimim Kort, Yimacher L'Tamei Sheb Zer Chachoka. I could sell to somebody who's Tamei, or Zer Chachoka, even if I bought the Pesach Rishon. He says, the Sheni, Yikrav L'Shana Ba'ah. If it was left over from the Sheni, so I'll bring it the following year. That's one price. So I'll recycle it, basically. The Tani Idach, I learned a different price, Lo Yikrav. No, I shouldn't offer it. Presumably, I have to let it put it to death, basically. So my law, with Palapli, is it not that the point of the dispute between these two prices is whether we're kosher for a tekala? I'll have this animal, hang it around, it's marked like for a korban, and I'll, you know, prematurely use it in the wrong fashion. That would be tekala. So one price we think holds that way and says that that it can't be brought. In other words, that's got to be the end of the animal now, presumably. And the other price says that no, we'll reuse this potent pesach. So the verse is low. Kuliyama lo feshin tekala. No, it could be that both prices hold. We're not afraid of tekala. We're not afraid of that at all. But it could be the point of dispute between the two prices is what we discussed yesterday. How do you calculate a year? Remember, according to Rebbe, we calculated on the solar year. In other words, the lamb has to be ben shana, or the lamb or the goat that's offered for the korban pesach can't be older than 1 year, but it has to be at least 8 days old. So it could be that what the Gemara wants to say, the point of dispute between the two prices is, will this lamb age out by next Pesach? If I designate it for Pesach this Pesach, will it be too old by next Pesach? It could be that it's Talu L'Machal between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe says we follow the solar year, so it could be it's not aged out, it's still within the 1 year, because we're doing 365 days. So it's not necessarily, again, it's only 354 days on the typical lunar year. And the Chachamim hold, no, we do the lunar calendar. So one Bryce says we'll reuse it, that follows Rebbe, who says it's still 1 year, within the 1 year. And the other one says not, that's like Chachamim, but nobody holds for Tekala. So the Gemara says, Bahatani the Pain Hamaut. But we learn in another Bryce that says the same would be true if he didn't have a lamb, but he designated money for use as the Korban Pesach. So one Bryce says you'll save the money for next year, use it for a Korban Pesach. The other Bryce says no. Lo Yikrab, it's apparently it has to be destroyed. So the Gemara said, what am I going to say with the money? The money doesn't get aged out over a year. So El Lav, so is it not that the point is between two prices whether we have to be pushing for a tekel or not? Okay, let's just summarize what we did and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. So so again, I'm just repeating. So we said yesterday that the Tana Rebbe Yehuda holds that when you have the Machzir HaShekel, that you have a surplus from 1 year because he designated two sets of Machzir HaShekel, you can apply it to the next year. That the obligations for this year be offered the following year. That's in Samachayim and Aleph. So then we said, if that's the case, so how come he doesn't say the same thing by a parvus a year, by the bull and the goats of Yom Kippur that were designated to be the korbanot? Then they got lost, and then I brought other animals as the korbanot, and then now I have them. Why does he say they have to die? Why can I say let them hang around for another year and I'll open them as korbanot? So the Gemara went through a number of kimpas yesterday, but today the Gemara says the point of dispute is takala, right? So the Gemara says, what takala? Takala is we're afraid that somebody will offer it as some other korban, and they would designate the par of the seer of Yom Kippur. So in order to avoid that, they have to die. That's basically what it comes out to. So that's basically what the Gemara said. Okay. Now let me just see if I have a little bit here for you. Give me one second, Okay, what's the question?
What's the takala problem of Pesach? You bring it during the year, it becomes a shalamim.
Yeah, so it should be a korban shalamim. It's a very good question. So I have to, you know, you feel like getting me a second spot for first mission. Yeah. At the end of the bottle, at the end of the set. End of the set, more to the end. Right. That's what he's talking about. Same question.
Yeah. And you bring it, can you sell it to somebody else, professor?
Well, that's what Rashi said. That's what Rashi said he would do. So one second.
Okay.
What's that?
Still worried about
what? One second. No, but the Gemara is saying, let's say I didn't sell it for
capturing, kept it.
Now it's cast. That's not changed. So now what do I do?
But that 30-day period would be.
But that sounds like the word. That's what we said. Didn't we say that? Yeah. That's what we said in the Gemara. All right. Let me take a look. What did we say? Let me go back. He said, one second. Listen. No. Here we have one price that says you'll keep it the next year. The Tani Edek Lo Yifrav, you won't. I don't know if he means don't keep it for next year, don't keep it at all. The second price, the Lo Yifrav. So I don't know. I don't really. So let me take a look. One second.
Up to the mission. Unless you hold, if you have to,
I need to review this thing by the Korban Pesach. Okay, but I hear the question. Okay, I'm going to move on now. Okay, so we're on Samach Vav Min Aleph in the Mishnah. Okay, so Samach Vav Min Aleph. Around 20 lines from the bottom. Okay, Shai, you got it? Okay. So Manitin, follow. Now we're back to our regularly scheduled program, with the Avodah and Kippur. Follow me to Seir Mishloach. I was pointing at all. He finished with the application of the blood for the part of the Seir Bethim, when the Kodesh Kedashim and the Kodesh, the whole thing. Now he goes out to the Seir Mishloach, which is the goat that won the lottery, so to speak, for an Azazel. So with some Mishloach, Devalav, he puts both his hands on the Seir, on the goat, he confesses his Aveirot on it. The Kachay Omer, from the Mustaf on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, rather. Ana Hashem, Tatu Avu Pashud L'Panach L'Chabek Yisrael. So if you remember, we had the Gemara earlier in Laman Hay, went through the first figure, right. So the early Mishnah, look at the Bach here. The Bach says it should be Avu Pashu Chatu. So in the previous Mishnah, we had a Malchukin Remeir and the Chachamim about what the Seder of those verbs were. So the Chachamim hold weights in our Mishnah, but the previous Mishnah was like Rebbe Meir. And the previous Mishnah said, Avu Pashu Fatu. And that was based on a Pasuk. That's the way Rebbe Meir held. The Bach wants to bring it in conformity with the prior Mishnah, that they should all be like the Tana Rebbe Meir. But in
the
a,
highest.
Remember. The this is the order. Chatu Avu Pashu. That's from the lowest to the highest. But Rebbe Meir holds to Avu Pashu Chatu. Remember, we did this already. So he held that the Pasuk has it that way, and that's the way you should do it. I think I gave a Sfar when we did that. I don't remember what Sfar was. Avu Pashu Chatu, but the Bach says it should be in conformity here as well. So Chatu Avu Pashu L'Panecha, I think in the davening, how do we do it in the davening? Okay, then the way it's here. Okay, so Chatu Avu Pashu L'Panecha M'chabi Yisrael, Ana Hashem or Ana Vashem, Aperna L'Chatayim L'Vanok L'Chatayim, Chatu B'Sha Avu B'Sha Pashu. And again, Chet is the Shogeg, Avu is Mezid, and Pashu is merit. It's like you're rebelliously doing something. Then he says, well, Hashem, he says, before Hashem, you should become purified. And when he says the word Hashem, he's saying, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, but pronouncing it the way it should be. I guess you're all hearing the Nusach in your ears or whatever this. He says, so you show me Hashem of Forash, the Yotim, King Koin Gadol. When you would hear the Tema of Horus coming from the mouth of Kohen Gadol, and then it's interesting, we say B'kdusha B'tara, he says, Hayukorim Mishtachin of Klinol Pneum. They would bow down and then Mishtachin of Klinol Pneum. And if you look, I have a picture book here, but 113. Okay, so in the picture book, if you look, you see Kriya is, you're like on all fours, but the Shtachabai, you're totally prostrate on the floor. So my understanding is that, Hey, I spoke to Rav Shechter. He says when he's around and he's enough space, that's the way he does it. Like totally you know, prostrated, you know, like that, like on all, like all them spread out. Let's see back in the Gemara. The Omrim Baruch Shem Kamukutin Lamed. They would say, you know, blessed is the name of His glorious Majesty forever. Then the Sarola Misham Olifo, he the Kohen Gadol would get the goat over to the person who would be transporting it to the cliff. I call Shem Olifo. Everybody is, you know, qualified to bring the goat. El Shasu Kohen Gadol Keva. Except the Kohen Gadol made a rule. The Wanichim and Yisrael Olifo. They didn't permit Yisrael to do it. They insisted the Kohen do it. Amar Rabbi Yosi Masav Olifo Arsala, and he has here in the Bach. In front of the Bach, he says Arslan Mitzipori. The Arslan Mitzipori. Israel Hayat. So Rabbi Yosef, not that apparently there was Israel, took it. The Kevesh Asulo and the Abapayim, the Talshim Basaro, and they made a ramp. And the ramp, and again, we have in the picture book if you need the ramp, the let me people in cyberspace. Ruth and everybody, here. Ruth, everybody, look, here's a picture of everybody bowing down at the base of Mikdash. Do you see it all? Okay, here's a picture. Ruth, do you see it? Ruth,
no, I do.
Good. Okay, I didn't want to think we forgot about you. Okay, let me see who else is here. And who else is here?
Kirsch, Arthur Kirsch.
Okay, Aaron Moshe. Okay, 1 second. Let's get this set up. Yeah, he did. Okay, 1 second. We'll talk to you in a minute. 1 second. Okay, now, and then it says they built this ramp, and here you see the ramp. So they built the ramp, you know, for... Like, in other words, when he leaves, he's got his own exit. You see, there's a ramp. Do you see? All right. Anyways, okay, let's take a look back on the door. So he says, the Kevesh Asulom Le'abablim, because the Babylonians, Shumatal Shem Basaro, will be pulling at his hair. It's a simple shot, pulling at the hair of the person who was leading the goat, but this Rabbi El Yakim, I so quoted in the Mesifta, he says they pull the hair of the goat. He says, Omrim lo, and save the person. Tul batei, like take it and leave. In other words, like get going with this goat and get rid of it. And let's look at the Rashi, the last Rashi on the Gemara. The Kevesh Kimin Malo Asulo, like Malo is like an upper story, but used to like a ramp. Shehu Gavoa, Yotze Derechoto Kevesh Chutz Azara. That's so he's got like his own exit outside the Azara, the Chutz La'ir, and outside the city. So the Bavliyim, Rashi says before, the Meshulach is the person. That they couldn't touch the Meshulach, the Fishu Regil Natal Show Basaro, they would like grab his hair and pull it out. Bowman Lo, tool my hair, but say, like, take it quickly and leave. Yal Tishel, but don't tell you what's later. We don't want our Aveiro to be sticking around here, anymore. All right. Wait.
Love are you anything as a scroll that it used the Kohen to quote the Tosus of Dashim that. The Medrash said that the person who led the goat died out. And for that reason, the Kohen led the goat themselves to avoid causing tragic deaths.
So that they would die, you mean?
They would die anyway.
They said Tosfos Hashanim?
Tosfos Hadashim.
Tosfos what?
Hadashim. New.
All right, let's take a look.
They left the flood there in the
people. Yeah, so that would be an Avera. That would be an Avera. I don't know how they did it, but it's an Avera. Okay, let's see.
What number of videos?
What, this is the third Bidui. Yeah. He had two on the par, one of the goat. Okay? All right, let's take a look back at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'ilu b'nei Aaron k'shecha lo ka'amor. So if you remember, and we had in the Gemara earlier, the second Bidui does on the par, he says that you should be mekaper for b'nei Aaronam k'shecha. First is Ani Veiti, and he says b'nei Aaronam k'shecha, like all those shavit kahuna. Here he doesn't say it. So Montana, so who's the Tana of our Mishnah? So I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, the local Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, please mute yourself. Everybody mute yourself out there in cyber world. He says, so Ruth, please mute yourself. Montana, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, the local Rabbi Yehuda. Not like the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda. Dikur Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar, Yishlem kapara v'sira mishleach. So there's a machloka tonight. The Gemara has this in the beginning of Masech Shavu, but you had it earlier in our Masech as well, that what kapara do the konim get with the par? So one Tana holds that they get full kapara. In other words, we have the seer, bifnim, that's tumas mikdash v'kadoshah for Klal Yisrael. And then the par, so one tana holds that they get kapara for two mitzvahs, and they get kapara for all their aveiru with the par, everything. The konim. So the konim have their own root. The other tana holds, no. That they get the Tumas Mikdash Shukadashav at the par, we get it with the seer, and then the Azazel is everybody. So the Gemara says, so here he doesn't mention the Konin. So he says, Mistam, and it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Dik Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Yisham Kapara, Basir, Mishleah. The other Tana is Rib Shimon. So it must be the Gemara says that our Mishnah goes like Rib Shimon, who holds the Konin, get Kapara with the par, and that's why he doesn't mention them. So Abaye Amar, who the term Rabbi Yehuda. Abaye says, no, you can even say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. I have to pony lab of Klal Yisrael. He says, forgive the Aver of Klal Yisrael. Aren't the Konin part of Klal Yisrael? Yes, yeah, so it's not Mukrach that it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. It could be. Welcome back, Aaron. Welcome back. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara on the bottom line. All right. Hey, Samachav and Allah. Mr. Olam and then he, the Kohen Gadol, gave it to the emissary who's going to take this. Again, this is Vishilach, he had the Yamidbara. He'll send it out with a designated person to the midbar. So, Mr. Olam Yishom Olichom, so Tana Rabbanan Ish, Lachir Azar. Says Ish means even to be a non Kohen, that we saw that the Mishnah that they had a rule only Kohen did it. ET, the one that's designated, turn page on the top line on Sabbath 66 be the top line. Sheyehim Mizuman, he should be designated, Rashi says, Buchan Lachafayekol, designated from yesterday. So, from Erev Yom Kippur, the person has to be designated for the one who's going to lead the goat. Then he says, "Et the back of the Gemara, et ba'afilu b'Shabbat," meaning that even on Shabbat we'll go through this. And the Gemara is going to explain it why it otherwise involves a chilul Shabbat. Et ba'afilu b'tuma, et even in the state of tuma, we'll explain what that. But it means that this is so important that it's docha Shabbos and it's docha tuma. We'll see in a minute. So the Gemara now takes apart the brisa. Ish, that was brisa, right? Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Ish la'chir azar." So Ish means even a non-Kohen could be the emissary to guide the goat. Shita, obviously. So Ma'od Tema, Kapara Kiva base, I might have thought it mentions Kapara with respect to this goat. He says Kamash Malan. So it is a Kiddush. In other words, even if the goat is bringing Kapara, I wouldn't have thought it's part of the Avodah. I would have thought the Kohen has to do it. It's Kamash Malan, but it can be a non-Kohen. E.T., again, taking apart the Brisa, Shabbat, even on Shabbat, Lamai Hilkata, what halacha is the Tan referring to that I would have thought that I cannot do this on Shabbat. So I'm Rav Sheshet Lomar, Shimacholim Arkivo Kipo. Now, when this is a Chilul Shabbat, it means when Yom Kippur coincides with Shabbos, there would be a Chilul Shabbat. We'll talk about it in a minute. So he says, so Rav Sheshet says that if the goat was sick, he can put the goat on his shoulders, see the person, and carry it out, meaning he'll be doing Hotzah on Shabbat. So come on, look Rabbi Natan. So must be that this Bryce that does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Natan, he Rabbi Natan Amar Chayno Seir Asmo. Rabbi Natan holds that a living creature carries itself. It means that it sits itself in the carrying, and you're not chayiv for carrying a living creature on Shabbat. So here, since the Bryce says that he teaches me even a Shabbat, meaning even on Shabbat if it's sick, I can carry the goat. So it teaches me that this Tana obviously does not hold like Rabbi Natan. He holds that you would be Michal Shabbos otherwise. So the Gemara says, no, I think it's maybe Rabbi Natan. You could say that our Bryce does follow Rabbi Natan. Follow Shani. Because Rabbi Natan would agree if the animal is sick, not no Seir Asmo. No Seir Asmo means through its movements, in some way, it's able to ease the carrying. At least that's the way there was Rabbi Yisrael Solomon explained it that way once. Okay, so he says, so I'm a Raphram. So Raphram says, Zodo Meret. So from the fact that the Bryce tells me that Ishiti, Afilu B'Shabbat, now Yom Kippur, we would hold also prohibited to do Hotzah. Yet the Brisa says that this is Dafkan Shabbat. So I'm a Rafam Zoro Merit, Erev Hotzah Shabbat, and Erev Hotzah Yom Kippurim. So Rafam says, this teaches me the Tana of the Brisa holds, Erev Hotzah means the Dinim Hotzah only apply on Shabbat that don't apply on Yom Kippur. We don't hold this way Allah Lamais, that we hold it does apply. But the Tana of this Brisa doesn't agree with that. He holds that Hotzah, then it sounds like, you know, if you say to somebody, oh, carry on Yom Kippur. but you see there's a Tana that holds you're allowed to carry on Yom Kippur. And then Eruv means, it's just thrown in for it. It means if there's no Din Hotzah, there's no Din Erube Chatzerot. It's only Erube Chatzerot. If I have a number of people living in the same courtyard, it's surrounded by a wall, but I still have to make an Eruv in order to carry there, it looks like carrying from Rishus Yach and Rishus Arabim. But though that obviously does not apply, according to the opinion, on Yom Kippur, because there's no Din Hotzah on Yom Kippur. But we don't hold this way. What? Right. Right. Okay, it's a very good question. And one of the sheets addresses it. So they say that I might have thought that it's like the non-required of both. We'll see in a minute. We'll see.
Yes, only the batteries.
Yosef's on the right track with that. But let me finish this. So if we get time, we'll try to do that. We'll try to address everything. Okay. So let's take a look further than tomorrow. Let me see if I have it here now. All right. The Avni Nezer was asked how the Gemara can say the pasuk teaches that one may carry a sikkot and still go to the wilderness on Shabbos. The sikkot is balmom. He gives the balmom on Shabbos. Yeah, but in this thing though. Right. So one answer, I don't know if we do the whole thing here, but he said, of course, the Rosh Mishan suggests since the mitzvah of sending the Azil go to the cliff is not essential to its validity, see the Ruch Planer cited above, one would think it does not override Shabbos. Therefore, it is necessary to derive this halacha from the Azil. Okay, that's one shot, but there's more. Okay, but let me go, I just want to make sure we get through the daf, and I have a lot of other things to say today. So, okay, now the Gemara says around line 10 on Samach Vavavays, E.T. Vapila Batuma. So we said E.T., even in a state of Tuma, you can go ahead and take this goat out to the cliff. So what halacha, in other words, what difference to make who's Tommy with this? She says, Amar of Shesha Lamarsh and his mom Shalpo, if the one who's supposed to accompany the goat became Tame, Nifnas Tame La Azaram Shalpo, that this special din, he notwithstanding his tuma, he could still enter the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tuma, which normally would be a veira and the azar, but normally would be a veira, and then take the goat. Okay, that's the piece with the goat and the whole thing with that. Okay, let me see further with Gemara. All right, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Everybody good?
Yom Kippur.
So I don't know. Let me see. He's saying why Hotza would not apply Yom Kippur. He's saying why would Hotza not apply Yom Kippur? So I mean, you see obviously that on Yontiv Hotza is permissible, and certain things are permissible on Yontiv, and certain Shabbos other things. And we know Yom Kippur, like, I mean, this conceptually, Yom Kippur fits in between Yontiv and Shabbos, right? 5 aliyahs on Yontiv, 7 on Shabbos, 6 on Yom Kippur. So we see Yom Kippur is somewhere in between Yontiv and Shabbos, clearly. So, I mean, that's Al-Pi HaShkafa. I don't know, based on Psukim or anything like that, but Al-Pi HaShkafa, you could see why I might think that there might be, there would be situations where Yom Kippur, I would think that Yom Kippur is somewhere between Yontiv and Shabbos. That's where it should fit. Not 100% like Shabbos. That's what I would think. Okay, let's see back from the Gemara. So, Shabbaton, right. Okay, now, I mean, Yontiv is also called Shabbos, but you're right. Yom Kippur is called Shabbaton. Okay, let's take a look. 10 lines from the top on Chof of the base. Shalud Reb Lezer, Kalam Aosher Kivei Oktobo. Now, he asked Tan Reb Lezer. Now, the Tan Reb Lezer lived during the Churban Beis HaMikdash. He was one of, he and Reb Yeshua, they took Reb Yochum and Zakkai out of Yerushalayim. But he really came into his own after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, I think. So he says, so they asked Reb Lezer, if the animal became sick, are you allowed to carry it on your shoulders? Which is what we had discussed earlier about Pinos State Asim and the whole thing. So now they're going to ask a series of questions for Reb Lezer. Each time he's going to evade the question. And he evades the question because he never said anything he didn't hear from his Rebbeim. That's it. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahem, Yechohu Lahar Kiv Aniva Atem. So he says the goat could, you know, ride with me and you to the, and it was strong enough to carry both of us. Meaning, like, this time it's not going to happen. It's a strong goat. He says, Chala Mishalcho, Maushe Shalchan Biyarachir. Let's say the emissary became sick. Can I substitute somebody else? He said, yes, we designated from yesterday. Can I do a last minute substitution? Amar Lahem, Hey B'Shalom, Aniva Atem. Like, I should be in the Shalom. You should be in the Shalom. Someone to say that he's always a robust guy. He will be healthy. So he didn't answer that question either. The chafobul omeid, if he throws the azazel off the cliff and the animal doesn't die, maushi meinach rabbi mitenu, he's allowed to go after it and kill it. Amar lahem, king of dukulei v'ach Hashem. So the simple shot is like, again, it's being evasive, like in such a matter, sure, your enemies be killed. Mistami, he's saying that like it will die going down the cliff. If the animal becomes sick, you know, another person can put him on his shoulders. Chalam shalto yishlof ben biyad acher. Some say if the mishaleach becomes sick, he'll get a last minute substitution. The chafo blomate, if you push it off and it didn't die, yireda karav yimikana. You go down, you'll kill it. So now, I don't know if they doesn't back up, but this is what the Gemara said. I don't know what the Gemara said. That's what we said, but that's what the question. Let's say he's sick. I don't know. Now the Gemara says, Shalut Reb Lezer. Now they asked another question, Reb Lezer. Ploni ma olam haba. So they asked him, like, a certain Rasha who's not identified, does he have a chelik in olam haba? So Amar Lahem, Moshal Tuni al Ploni. Like, you didn't ask me about Ploni, who's like a tzaddik. A simple shot. Or the other shot is, they were asking him, is Shlomo Melech going to get olam haba? Means Shlomo Melech, the Pasuk. If you read and translate the Pasuk, it says that Chasr Shalom, that he worshiped the Avodah Zarah. But Chazal teaches the Gemara Shabbos, who Omer Shlomo Chatayin Lotoah, you say he sinned, he made a mistake, means he permitted his wives to have their place of Avodah Zarah and Shlaim, so the Pasuk discredits him. But he said, like, does he have a chelik olam haba? So he said, so Amar Lahan, Lo Shal Tuni Ala Ploni. Maybe you asked me about Avshalom, David Melech's son, Avshalom, does he have a chelik olam haba? So Avshalom had relations with his father's Pilag Shem. So the question is the Pilagish, is she considered married or just the Futar Aviv? So that's one way to do it. But in other words, they ask him a question, he comes back with another question. He doesn't really answer the question. He says, then they said, is a shepherd allowed to shave the sheep from the lion, from the mouth of the lion? So, well, he doesn't say it on Shabbos. Is it Shabbos there? Oh, so but Tosfos learned that the Roa Kibsam and Ari, the Ari is David HaMelech, the Kibsam is Bathsheba, and the Roa would be Uriah. In other words, was Uriah was he allowed to save Bathsheba from David HaMelech? Because, in other words, Yosef come at David, you know, but they've got greed to Laishto, and he wrote a get. So would Uriah have been in his rights to, like, save Bathsheba from David HaMelech? So Amar Lahem, Lo Shal Tuni Ela Kibsa, you only asked about the sheep. Ma'ala Sila Roam in Hari. Are you allowed to save the shepherd from the lion? And he wants to say the shepherd would be Uriah Chiti from David HaMelech. In other words, would it have been right to interfere? Was Uriah Chiti serving of, you know, Mori B'malchut, you know, because he sent him to the war? So Amar Lahem, Lo Shal Tuni Ela Roa. He says, you only ask for the Roa. So he says, Mamzer, Mauli Rush. Then he asked him, is a Mamzer allowed to have Rusha? So he says, Mauli Abim. Can a Mamzer do Yibam? He says, Maula Surbeto. Is a person allowed to, like put like lime or plaster on his home after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? He says, Maula Surkibra. Are we allowed to put lime around the kever? He says, Loma Meshif, we cut the bar. Not that he was trying to, like, get rid of them, like, that he didn't know the answers. He never said anything he hadn't heard from his Rebbeim, and the Gemara Masechet Sota goes through that, and there are other Gemaras saying the Sfas Emes, there are those Gemaras where he does have different Kiddushim. So Sfas Emes says that during his Rebbeim's lifetimes, he wouldn't say anything he hadn't heard from him. Then after lifetimes, he would expound and have further things to say. But there's a piece that Rav Shecher has in his Sefer and Rav Simon's book as well. They reconcile it like this. And I think this is brought down, that Rav Simon brought down the Sefer Ma'orish Ketor by Rav Shach's son-in-law. He says that that Rav Lezer, like, he listened to the Shir, and he understood things from the Shir that his Rebbeim were giving that other people didn't understand. In other words, like, sometimes we get a fear, and we say something that they've never been heard in the world before. So, but the Gemara says, but Reb Lezer only said things that he heard from his Rebbeim. How could he say things that never been heard in the world? But it means he would hear the fear and understand from that fear, like, with a clarity, A, B, C, D, and E. Nobody else got all of that. And so that's where he was able to do it. Okay, but it's a big mila that his Masorah was so strong, he only said things he heard from his Rebbeim. Now, Shalai Shafakamad Reb Lezer, one woman who was very smart, she asked Reb Lezer, the Farsha Masa Eagle Shabin, since the actions of the Masa Eagle were the same, in other words, we see in the Torah that after the Masei Egel, so the people get three different death punishments. So seemingly Shkarboli Reichel, like Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Bnei Levi, put your swords on your loins, and you know, if Rumi Sharla Sharba Machaneh, there are Dui Shibrayeh Ubi Shikrovo, kill everybody who's over to a Zahar." Then we see it says, "Vayigof Hashem that Amal Shir Sarigal Shir Asaru." Hashem brings a plague on the people, and then it says that Moshe Rabbeinu grinds up the Egel, or Yizer Al Pnei Amayim. Chazal teaches that people drank that water with the ground up Egel in it, and then like their stomachs like exploded like the sota. So they were all engaged in some way with the Avodah Zarah. Why do they have different deaths? He says, there's only wisdom in the woman with the spindle. In other words, he's trying to, one way to understand it, to deflect her. The women, they knew how to sew well, and they prepared for the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, Itmar, Rav and Levi. So the Gemara says, Rav and Levi, Karamar, one says, Be'ach v'kiter b'sayim. They're explaining the different death penalties. Zibeach v'kiter, if a person offered his korban or incense for the egel, he got the sayim, with the sword. So decapitation. So Rashi brings down that on a din Torah, it would be chenek, but they hadn't been given the Torah yet. So they're like, B'nei Noach, so they get sayim. Well, they had gotten, Moshe Rabbeinu had received the Torah, but he hadn't, I guess, given it over to everybody yet. That's all I could say. He says, we'll see the Rashi in a minute if we have time. He says, Chanamar Zimim he paved any shake if he hugged and kissed the idol, the Mita. That's the Bayigof Hashem. Or he says on the side, the Aruch, this is Bama Gefa. Samach B'Lavo, if he was just happy with it, with this Egel, the hydroken. Hydroken is like this disease, like when he would drink like the you know, the ground up egel. Okay. Well, Hashem does his own punishment, whatever is doing on. So he says Bacharamar, one says Aidim Bahatra Basaya. If there were witnesses and warning Basaya, Aidim below Hatra, witnesses without warning Bita. Lo Aidim below Hatra, no Aidim, no Hatra Bihidroken. Okay, so with that, you see, with that last one, it seems like it's moving that they're all doing Avodah Zarah, but some people had Aiden, not like the first way. They're all doing Masei Avodah Zarah. Some people had Aiden Mahatra, some then people had Aiden with no Hatra, some had no Aiden with no Hatra. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Shifto Shalevi, Lo Avodah Avodah Kuchab. So Rav Yehuda said nobody in Shevet Levi was engaged in this Avodah Zarah. Nemar by Moshe B'Shar Machaneh B'Gomer that Moshe stands in Shar Machaneh says Milah Hashem Milai by Esfulah B'Nei Levi. Well, B'Nei Levi came over to him. He says Yatid Ravina V'Kamar L'Hashmaita. So Ravina was sitting and said over this Shua Eifei B'Nei Rapapa Bar Abba L'Ravina. So B'Nei Rapapa asked Ravina. It says HaOmer L'Avivu No Lo Ritiv. It says in Zosa Bracha it's talking about Levi describing that Levi is so devoted to a Kadosh Baruch Hu that when it came to executing, he says, I don't know my father, my mother, and my sons. In other words, the people who were deserving of execution, he executed them, but it sounds like that the Warshev of Levi were implicated. Well, I don't know my mother and father, but they're chayv that they're getting executed. He says, so the Gemara says, this is Banablo Yadav, you know, he says that a couple of weeks here. The Gemara explains, Avimo Miser. When it says his father, it means his paternal grandfather, who's Yisrael, not Shevet Levi. Echav, when it says his brothers, means Echav Mimo Yisrael, his maternal brothers. In other words, only brothers to his mother, not in Levi. Bana, B'nei Bito Yisrael. Bana means his grandsons, who were also non-Levis. But Levi did what they did with it. Okay, let me wrap it up now. And that, you know, this took longer than I thought. The Kevesh Chesulo V'chulei, so they had a ramp that they made for the person who was leading the Seir. Amar Rabba Barachana, Lo Babli Yimayu. They weren't Babylonians who were pulling out the hair either of the person or the goat. Alexandria, there were people from Alexandria. When we took Shoshonim and Babylon, the Chachamim disliked the Babylon. In other words, anybody who did something wrong, they called them a Babli. So they're really Alexandrians, but they called them Babylon. He says, Tanya, Rabbi Yudomir, Lo Babylon, they weren't Babylonians, Alexandria, you helped me so much because my family's from Babel. So I'm happy to hear that they really weren't Babylonian. Okay, well, let's see a minute. Now, Tul would say, they said, take it and go. Tana, Mashai, Sapira, Dain, Bechobi, Darasigin. It was like, why are you leaving this goat here? And we have so many Aveirot a lot of chobot for the dara for the generation, right? For the generation. He says, when the sins of the generation are many. Okay, I only have a minute or two, but the thing with the Bavlim is interesting. We don't have so much time, but there are different shots of what means of the Bavlim. So one shot that we brought down here, I think I have the wrong one here. It's one shot that he brings down here. Okay, that's what I'm about to try to address. So he says that puts Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, author of the Rota Rishonim, he says in Sefer Yosifun, I don't know if it's Josephus or Sefer Yosifun is like a rabbinic book. It says there were a group of Jews from Babel that came to live in Alexandria, and they weren't like some Er Lechemenshin, and the people in Alexandria separated themselves, and they called them Bavliyim. In other words, so within Alexandria, they had Jews living there, they called them Babylonians. And that's what Chazal means, lo Bavliyim ayo Alexandriyim ayo, but Shonim and Bavliyim means that the people in Alexandria disliked the Bavliyim. You know, Lahavdil, I don't think it's quite the same, but like Jews in Europe, so in Germany, there were Jews who had migrated there from Eastern Europe, and they were living in Germany. They were Ostjud, and then they had the native, like the real McCoy German Jews. So here they're saying, like, we're the Alexandrians, we got the Babylonians who migrated here, but they're like, you know, fled the mansion. Then he says, this Hezger works out very nicely. He says, Rishami says, praising Rabbi Yochanan, that he was Alexandri La'amito, that Rabbi Yochanan was a true Alexandrian. So based on this, we can explain that people in Alexandria, they were like very refined people. The Babylonians who migrated there were different. So they praised Rabbi Yochanan that he was really like from an original Alexandrian family. He was from Alexandria, and he wasn't the one who came to him. Now, on the different shot, he brings down from Rav Tugi Yehuda Tavyomi, who says that there was a city. Babel is a region, and Babel is a city. So there's a specific city in Babel known as Babel. And he brings it from Raya's that was the case. Right, you got the idea. So so the point of being is they're saying that the Bavlim that they didn't like were the people from this town. Now, the Gemara says that in Babel, Bavlim, they came from the Erev Rav, you know, like their Yichus wasn't so good. So it doesn't mean the people in Babel, it means people from that city. And then he says, one second. Okay. Yeah. So Bavli became like a term for a person who was very coarse and not refined. And then he mentions also, he quotes from the Tal Orot. He says that if a Kohen Gadol known as Chanamel, the second para is called Chanamel HaMitzri. But in Yosifun, he's called Chanamel Bavli. So it means that, that's what it means. He was like a coarse person, so they called him a Bavli. And that was what I mean. But it doesn't mean Babylonians. It means from that city of Babel. Okay, I think that's it for today. Nice seeing everybody else. Let me talk to you 1 minute. Let me end the recording.